Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 71% of hiring decision makers are willing to hire contingent workers to meet their business needs. But more than half of those hiring expect to face challenges in finding qualified candidates. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. Express is in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your hiring challenges. Visit expresspros.com for a location near you. Summer is coming and that means vacation. But if you are a parent, you know how fast your kids grow. And that means nothing from last summer will fit. And we need to get the kids new summer clothes. Well, if you're looking for summer clothes for the kids like me, you are in luck. Macy's Friends and Family Sale is coming. And trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get an extra 30% off brands that almost never go on sale, like Levi's, Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, Nike, Gap, Hotel Collection, Lego, and more. And 15% off beauty, makeup, and more. Plus free shipping when you spend $25. April 25th to May 5th, Macy's.com and in-store. Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with real Japanese matcha, perfect for hot or cold brewing. Matcha is rich in vitamin C, catechins, EGCGs, and L-theanine. Enjoy a delicious matcha latte or smoothie with this convenient green tea powder made from Japan's treasured matcha, finely milled from high-quality green tea leaves. Get 25% off all Matcha Love products on Itoan using code JANA. That's code J-A-N-A at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoan.com.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
You know what I think is funny about last week is that when I had posted about one of, like, someone leaving the queendom, you guys immediately went to, it was one of y'all.
Well, oh. You said Kristen Brust and tagged me at Kristen.Brust wants someone to leave the queendom chat. And I got sweaty. I'm like, there's no way. I felt like I had this like duped moment where I was like, did they edit something? And it's going to make me sound like I'm breaking up. Is the kingdom falling? That's what I felt.
I was here and I still was worried it was me. I wasn't sure. I couldn't remember.
The great news, that person has exited the chat.
Yeah, exited the chat.
She does not seem so confident.
No, totally exited. Okay. And it's really funny because funny Jewish guy, I was like, you should listen to the podcast because we kind of mentioned you. And he was like, I'm never listening to Wind Down ever again because you talked about a dude for like the first, like another dude. Because he was like,
oh no.
He goes, he said, because he's like, I thought you were going to be like, he was amazing. I was like, I said you were, he's like, all you said was like, he's a cool dude, but the other guy. Well, and he goes, so do I have to be, play hard to get? But we had a conversation too. And that was a bummer because we realized we're just going to be friends.
Oh, yeah. Is funny Jewish guy going to listen to this one? Should we talk about him for a second so he can feel the love?
Well, I mean, now that we're just friends because he's,
he still deserves attention.
Now that we're just friends, why are we going to talk about him?
Yeah. So he's gone. All right. Okay. Bye, funny Jewish guy. Oh, it's too fast for me. I get emotionally attacked.
It's hard.
Well, I realize because it was one of those things where like we could be, like he could have been one that stayed along or for a very long time in a chat. But the reality is he lives in LA and I'm not moving and he's not moving. And so there's no point
trying to judge
ever
by your face. Is it really over or do we just create some sort of boundary?
No, it's over. It's like, I have to like put up the, like, I even was like, hey, I have this great girl in LA I'm going to set you up with. Cause he's a great freaking guy.
It's interesting cause we're from the same place, but you go very LA with that. Like the swapping of like boyfriends and girlfriends is like so West Coast
and
to me.
I'm done.
Where I'm like, I'm just like, no, that's girl code. No, that's bro code.
And then I panic. We didn't sleep together. We just made out.
No, ma'am.
You can't wait.
I'm sorry. In your 30s, nearing 40s, so like me, Caitlin, and Elizabeth, and I'm going to do this to you now too, Catherine, now that you're part of the single crew, but like, for example, Elizabeth, because on the dating app that we're all on, she's like, oh yeah, I went out with him. He's great. He's like really like dad, but he's all yours. He's not my person. So I'm like, you sure? Cool. So I heart him.
I can't. This is like a fantasy football draft so small, and I can't.
Though. But why?
I just can't. I couldn't.
But like, even if like, I mean, Elizabeth, like, I think they just kissed too. It's like,
have you ever made out with my husband? Do we need to have a deep dive? Do we need to pause the recording?
Okay, maybe not in the queendom. Maybe we just wouldn't make out much, with the same people in the, like, the
well,
same
men in the queen. Well, there's not much, like, turnover in the
queen. Sorry, I forgot your ex-husband. Julie. Said that. Yeah, yeah. Well, oh, anyway.
That's very West Coast to me.
I'm just saying, wouldn't you, so, for example, this guy, it. Adam. Yeah. Oops, I said his name. That's fine. That's fine. It's like, he's cool.
Oh, he deserves it.
Oh, he got a name.
Yeah.
He's not just funny. You know Jewish what?
Funny Jewish guy, boring Jewish guy never got his name mentioned. So you matter.
It's way more fun to just have nicknames.
But like, he's a great guy. So I'm like, I even DM'd one of my girlfriends and was like, hey, you know, this is a great guy. I would, she's like, well, why don't you want to be with him? I was like, I would in a heartbeat. But like, he's got a daughter. He'll never leave. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to move either because that'd be unfair for my co-parenting situation and the kids. And so,
and to the queendom.
And to the queendom. So I'm like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, you should, y'all should meet. And I don't think that's weird because it's like,
yeah, because then when they get married, you're gonna be in the matching bridesmaid dress.
I think that if y'all had like a serious relationship for a long time, that seems a little weirder. But now you've been on what, 2 dates with the guy?
Yeah.
I don't think it's that weird.
But you kissed him.
Passionately.
Oh, see? And now your new friend's going to listen to this episode and she's going to kiss him too.
But again, it's he's not my person. So like, for example, if I meet someone, I'm like, oh, I think actually, like, I, you know, I was just talking about this to one of my other girlfriends too. He, where she was like, I don't think he's my person. Like if I see someone on Raya or whatever, I'd be like, oh, Catherine, like, I think he'd be a good match for you. I'm going to send him Catherine's way.
Yeah.
Even if...
No, I like the idea. Okay. I think it's... I love what you're saying, and I like the vetting out, and I also think it takes a great deal of maturity to know it's not your person and to go, you'd be better suited with this person.
I agree.
The passionate makeout is where I'm like, ow.
Well, maybe leave that part
out. Did you want to mention that Leo, your dog, is here? Before it sounds like I just bit you. For those of them not watching.
Yeah, no, Leo just totally bit me.
Okay. Leos have a tendency to do that. In my experience. Oh,
so this is where I go to, which I'm going to talk about another topic later, but I want to get to Catherine's topic about, wants to bring something up.
Well, I have a question.
Okay, answer.
Okay. And I legitimately want to know.
Can you put Leo over on that couch, or he's going to have to go in his crate because he's biting the cords and this episode will end very shortly if that keeps happening.
Okay, so. If you have a problem with someone, okay?
Oh, okay.
Wait,
okay.
Ooh, okay. Let me sit down.
Also, a problem with someone.
If the person's on this couch, we need to discontinue.
100% not.
Okay.
Don't worry. Not even like a great, not even a friend, really. But if you have a problem with someone, do you address it? Do you let it go? Or do you let it fester?
It depends on the depth of the relationship.
Ooh. Okay, not that deep.
Can we go a little bit more? I'm going to go Mark here on here.
Okay.
Can you give us a little more detail?
Because
I think that depends.
I need more detail.
On what.
Okay. So
which one I would do.
Okay. So not a friend.
Okay.
Someone that came into your life in a situation that you wouldn't have loved to have it have happened, but it did. So you try to be the person's friend. You actually like the person. Seems like a nice person. But you have a problem with something that that person has done. Okay. So I'm an 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me answer my own question.
Okay.
Let me just answer this.
That's a very 8 thing to do.
Yes.
As a 2, I want to hold you. As an 8, you'd like to confront yourself. This seems very on brand.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm the person, I like to confront it. Like, here's what you've done. I don't like it. Let's address it. And theoretically move on. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Moving on part is hard for me personally.
No, it is. That's what I'm learning about me.
Oh,
yeah. So I think that's the thing. So
you let it fester and you don't move on.
I do all 3.
Uh-huh.
Should I reroute us back to the last episode where we talked to Lisa and her book, Forgiving What You Can't Forget?
Yeah, I ordered it.
Okay,
great. And realized I was already reading one of her books.
But this is the part that I struggle with.
So I'm learning that this is one of my
forgetting.
Biggest struggles.
Mm-hmm. So, is what?
Well, all of it.
Okay.
So I think God's working on me a lot in a lot of ways. This is the one thing that's just like killing me lately. Okay, so it'll fester a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, no, I shouldn't address. No, don't be an eight. Don't do it. Don't be an unhealthy. Don't do it. And then I go and I attack.
And you go hard.
Yeah, I go hard and not very nice.
Okay. I read the messages. You weren't not nice. You
direct.
Very direct.
I think it was an emotional situation that it was too premature for anybody to be a part of.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
And so your emotions were more heightened because of the situation that you were in, and it bothered you, and your emotions were a part of it, and that's okay.
And I'm assuming that this is a situation you weren't asking to be a part of.
No, I was not asking to be a part of it.
Or wasn't aware you were a part of, maybe even.
Yeah, not at the beginning.
Okay.
So I try, but my emotions are all over the place. Okay. So again, I try not to be the eight, but I did. I was here and there. Like I was between an eight and whoever's just like super nice, we're awesome. I don't know what number that is. Mm-hmm. You know, just like
a two.
That's you. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you go back and forth, but here's the thing. So now I'm at a point where I went after, but also apologized. I'm very much an apologizer. Like I'm a, like, let's be direct. Let's address it. I'll apologize for what I did wrong. You apologize for what you did wrong, and we can move on. Problem is the other person was an eight, and two eights going after each other didn't go very well. And so now I'm in a situation I cannot let it go.
She got unfollowed and blocked.
Blocked, unfollowed, all of the above. Now, I will be honest, I did block at some point too, but I unblocked. But I am like forever
Isn't
blocked.
Isn't that the worst when you block someone and then you're like,
yes,
kidding. That happened to me with actually a friend of ours that was like,
yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
I was like, by the way, I'm unblocking you.
By the way, tap, I'm back. Hey, you.
Oh, I already had to do that once. I was like, by the way, I blocked you and I'm blocking. But now I'm like forever blocked.
So are we, I want to say one thing.
Please.
I am a direct communicator, but I'm a soft communicator.
Okay.
I don't feel like you should apologize ever in part of, that was me, not Leo. Part of me, I do strongly believe that when you're apologizing to someone, it needs to be for no other reason than to just clear your own air.
Yes.
And not expect an apology in return.
Ooh.
I knew it was going to hit somewhere with you because you were like, so I apologize. And then wanted her to apologize. And then we were just going to move forward.
So I get stuck in this place of, I feel like I apologize a lot.
Well, you own things.
I do.
Which
like,
is
I want
hot.
To own. Like, I want
I
to
love
own.
To own too. But love what I've learned to. In all my ownership is not everybody.
Everyone likes to own.
Not everybody likes to own and not everybody can own.
Mm.
They're on a different path. They could be, it's not a lesser path or a shorter path or a slower path. It's just different. And I think we cannot expect the ownership from the other person and we can't apologize to have them own. We can only apologize to own and know that we've done what we can do in the situation.
Yes. Which in theory, I agree with.
I know.
And I can
we all say, I mean, listen.
Right, sure.
Also me. I've
right.
had similar situations where I'm like, okay. So I'm sorry. And then I just give that dramatic pause and tee up. Like, no,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Now.
I just feel like there was nothing that, the only thing that I will say to this is I didn't feel like you really truly had to apologize as many times as you did.
Yeah, no, I apologized a lot.
Like,
I think because my emotions were so up and down, that's why I felt like I had to apologize. I mean, enough that the person even said, I don't want any more of your
emotions,
apologies.
But that's the thing. And that's not fair because she's overstepped a boundary too.
Yes. I mean, we both overstepped boundaries for sure.
But like, you don't apologize for your emotions. Like, if I'm acting irrational, mean, bitchy, whatever, I can say I'm sorry for that. But then don't apologize again and again to say I'm sorry again.
True. But what happens is when the emotions are up and down, you go from... Yes, I agree with you. The problem is now, is the last thing that I sent, which was nice, I was blocked. So it's like out there in the air with like the meanest things ending between both of us. Mm-hmm. And I cannot let it go.
Because you, okay, can you not let it go because she doesn't like you now? Or do you feel like you did something wrong? Or because you just, like, what part of it can you not let go? Because for me, like, I don't like to have, like, I'm trying to think of a situation where it's like, I don't like the energy and I don't like to know that, like, I'm not bad. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't do anything wrong. Like, I apologize. Like, come on, let's all, like,
it's sing
kumbaya.
So here's the other side of that. Like, I live in a small town. The woman lives in my town. We have a lot of similar things that we do. I have to see her. So it is 100%.
Let me devil's advocate for her for 4 seconds, even though I'm definitely on your team.
That's fine. I'm here for that.
I know. But you know, I'm like team. Yeah. I'm just wondering, because I've gotten to a point before where sometimes the blocking is just a boundary of like, no more noise for a second while I sort this out and take the pieces that I can take. Own the pieces that I can take. So maybe the blocking and the unfollowing is just her way of going, I just need like a 4-minute break. This has gotten heated and I want to be able to have a different conversation with you, but just not right now.
Probably. I could see that.
That's the healthy version of her. I don't know this person,
so I don't know if she's healthy enough to.
Well, the problem is we both have healthy and unhealthy.
Well, we all do.
But yeah. I think the unhealthy is because of who it's connected with. Yeah. And I think, again, what I would love to see in this situation for you is for you to stand in your truth and go, yeah, you were emotional, you were a little up and down, but it was also a very unfair that happened to you, a very unfair thing that happened to you. The timing of it all, it was not cool. And then what she followed up with was not great. So the fact that you're dealing with that emotion on top of other emotional stuff that you're going through in your life, like, stand in your truth and go, you know what? I'm like, I'm not the bad person in this. And like, yeah, you already owned your stuff. That's amazing. And now that's on her to not, you know, to maybe do what Kristen's saying, or not. She doesn't have the, like, it's too much for her emotionally too.
So, yeah, well, and she may have to do the same thing. I get that. But God, that drives me crazy. I want to be very clear.
I don't like the feeling you're having.
Well, and
I
know that feeling. We have a lot of mutual friends-ish, mm-hmm. and it literally kills me. All I think about is like, well, what did she say to so-and-so? Because I know that she has said things not nice to people, you know? And mm-hmm. so it's like, I probably have too, though, you know? So it's just like, but that drives me crazy.
You just have to let a little time and a little space and a little air, I think.
Yeah.
Because I've gone through something very similar.
And what are you going to do with that?
Well, today, y'all are going to make you shut out on that. No. Oh.
You did not email her.
Well, I'm blocked.
No, she
didn't.
No, she TP'd her house.
All of the things I would have done, by the way. All of them. I sent a little message.
On a
that
rock.
Was not an apology.
Through her window.
It was not an apology, but it was kind of wrapping it up in a bow. Like, look, we have to see each other kind of thing. Good. And it was kind and it was ever. But I'm still blocked.
Where did you send it?
I texted her and it's green. I'm still blocked.
Oh, yeah, you're still blocked.
So she didn't get it.
She didn't get it.
Mm-mm. Can you send it through a mutual friend?
Well, here's...
Can't you just do it at one of the kids' practices that you might be at?
Yeah.
Nothing says stomachache like a juice box of soccer practice and confrontation.
Which is like, I don't know. So, yeah, I might have to do it in person. I don't know. I haven't decided. Anywho.
Okay. I want to put a pin in this conversation.
Okay.
Because I think we need to sit with it for a hot minute.
Okay. I'm going to block it and I'm going to unfollow it for a minute and I'm going to give myself
so
some
childish,
air.
Y'all. I know.
We've all done it. We've all done it.
I can't even echo enough how I've had this exact, the very similar situation.
It's like one of my friends was like, I can't believe she blocked and unfollowed. I was like, well, I kind of did it first.
No, I don't think that's childish. That's a boundary of sorts.
We've all done it. We get emotional.
I know.
That's the first reaction is to be like, I'm unblocking. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm blocking. It's like, that's the first emotional reaction that we have.
And it's really our first line of defense in this social media life we live in to get this person like out of your orbit for a minute.
Right.
I mean, and it is a boundary. Like, I get that. Like, I did it so I didn't have to see her stuff.
Right.
Right.
I don't know. Anyway.
Okay, we're going to put a little pin in it and we're gonna come back and talk about that. But first, we're going to get an incredible guest on. Her name is Rebecca Wolf. And she actually, she's a freelance writer since she was 16, she actually helped write some of the Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, which if you're our age, wow. I know it was like oh, yeah. one of
That's
my
like, iconic.
Iconic. Yes. But she's got a new memoir out right now. It's called All of This, a memoir of death and desire. And it's basically about, well, we'll have her talk about it, but she asked for a divorce and then her husband got pancreatic stage 4 cancer. So she ended up staying with him. And anyways, we're going to get her on, but let's take a break. They always say moms are really hard to shop for, but the truth is moms will love everything, especially if it's coming from Macy's. Macy's makes shopping for Mother's Day easy. Macy's Mother's Day gift guide has the perfect gift to make mom feel special. You can shop by price, $25 and under to $100 and under, or category like fragrance, handbags, and more. So if you don't know what to get them, Macy's got you covered. Or they have gift lists if you are really stuck, like the list for the mom who has everything, for the plant lover or for grandma. Some of their top Mother's Day gifts include Dolce & Gabbana perfume, Coach floral printed leather, Cassie crossbody bag. Whatever you need this Mother's Day, find it at Macy's. Shop Macy's.com/giftfinder. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles in operation. Compatible device and vehicle require. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots. But wow, I'm never going back to Tecovas, you guys. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off. So, Rebecca, we are so excited to have you on Wind Down. Me and the girls were just kind of debriefing before we started recording. And first of all, the soup books. Oh my goodness! I mean, that was like our childhood.
Yes, I love that. My sisters,
like yes. Literally iconic pieces of yep. literature. like a timestamp.
Like five of them at home. I had for all. Some
yeah, I had all. Yeah, I love them.
Like so many copies. I know.
Oh my yeah, God, for the teacher soul, that. For my heart soul, for my soul soul. I don't know. I was like,
I know.
Chicken
I know.
Soup, me up, and I'm a vegetarian. Yep. Very ironic.
Yeah. Same. Same.
How did you start writing on those books?
So when the first book came out, which I believe was like around 94, 95, I was in middle school. I submitted a story to the, like you could submit them in those days. So I submitted a story that I wrote like in my ninth grade English class to the second Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul 2. And it was published. And then the woman who ran it kind of reached out to me and she's like, do you have anything else? And I was like, are you kidding me? I'd like, you know, been writing my whole, you know, 14 years of being a person. So I sent like a bunch of other stories and poems and she ended up hiring me. So I wrote for the book series through high school. And then I didn't even go to college. I went straight to work for the book. And then I toured on their behalf and like spoke about writing through trauma, like to teens. Oh. And, you know, was kind of like a spokesperson for the Teenage Soul books and the Teen Love series books, which came out afterwards. And yeah, it was just like kind of a fluky thing. Like I submitted a story for extra credit and it turned into like a career. I deferred my college admission and never went to college.
Like I just feel like very fulfilling though. It has to be, right? I mean, I'm assuming that's not just normal work. That's really powerful work.
Yeah. And I was, you know, I was 18. So I had like an adult job at 18. Like I went to work every day in an office and I edited. I also ghost wrote and edited too. So I was doing way more than just, you know, writing, you know, a few stories. Like I was actually working full time. And then I went from there into freelancing and I moved to London for a year and wrote, you know, travel stuff and music stuff. And I just sort of kept going. Mm-hmm. So I've been writing about my life for, you know, 25 years.
Wow. And now you have your new memoir out, which that came out in August and it's called All of This. And was that, I mean, I first of all, I'm so excited to get that book because I love the fact that, you know, you are speaking on your life and you're being vulnerable and is the book mostly like, give me like the elevator pitch of the book.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been writing on the internet through my whole 20s. I had a blog called Girls Gone Child that I started in 2005 when I had my first child, a son. I got pregnant with him really young, didn't have a community. So I started writing about it online. And this was like in the beginning, I was like sort of one of the early mommy bloggers. And I did that for over 10 years, I wrote about my experience as a mother, found an incredible community online, have been writing ever since. And I, you know, had written about my marriage, but you know, I wrote mainly metaphorically. So if something massive happened to us, I would write, you know, about it more in a, you know, symbolically than I would, you know, really detail and flesh out the issues that we were having in our marriage, because we really from the beginning struggled our marriage. You know, we barely knew each other when I married him. I got pregnant. We eloped to Vegas. We sort of like tried to make it work, kept trying to make it work, had, you know, good moments and good years, well, good months, good weeks. Mm-hmm. But it was mainly, you know, it was mainly a pretty tumultuous, toxic marriage that just got worse and worse as the years went on. And when I finally said to him, I want a divorce. I don't love you anymore. I can't be in this marriage anymore. It's killing me. Like I felt that way. I was at the point where I was like, if I don't get out of this marriage, like something will happen to me. Cause I was miserable.
How many years at that point?
We'd been married for over 13 years at that point.
13.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and we had four children, the oldest being 13, right? Cause I was pregnant when I married him. And he was like, okay. And so I was actively looking into, you know, getting another place and doing all the things that you do when you're separating. When he suddenly had horrible stomach ache, horrible, like keeled over, needed to go to the hospital, went to the hospital. They diagnosed him in the ER with stage 4 pancreatic cancer that had already metastasized into his liver and lymph nodes. So he was, it was at the point of no return. Like it was a terminal diagnosis. And we weren't even speaking when he was in the hospital. Like we hadn't been speaking that entire week. So you can imagine, you know, being in a situation, wanting desperately to get out of your marriage, finally saying, I'm done, I'm out, actively pursuing divorce, and your husband is suddenly diagnosed with terminal cancer. So that phone call, all of the feelings that I felt, you know, when he called me from the hospital, obviously were very complicated. And I, you know, my parents came up, I went straight to the hospital as soon as I could. And I essentially stayed with him to care of him for the 4 months that he, between diagnosis and death, it was 4 months. And I was, you know, I was with him the whole time, took care of him, navigating that as somebody who wanted to leave him was, you know, it was a lot. It was trying to find closure. It was trying to, you know, kind of go back and create as loving and supportive an ending as I could give him. Obviously there was a lot of unresolved anger and there were feelings of relief knowing that he wasn't going to be in my life anymore. You know, which took me years to feel like I could say out loud, because, you know, when someone dies, you're not supposed to feel relieved. You're supposed to be, you know, feel deep grief, which is what I felt too. And obviously I, you know, wanted my children no longer have a father. And I would think my grief was, you know, was for them, but I didn't want to be with him anymore. I didn't want him to die, but I didn't want to be with him anymore. So a lot of what my experience was after his death was similar to what, you know, a woman coming out of a divorce might feel, which is, I'm free. Oh my God. Like I got married at 23 years old, right? Like I had 4 kids by the time I was 30, I was 37 year old widow. And I was like, I have a body and this is my one life. And I know how fast a person can go from being healthy to dead. And what am I doing? What do I want? This is like, so I, you know, my experience after he died was really sort of a midlife adjacent, you know, sort of catharsis and awakening, that I don't think I would have had if he died. I don't think I would have had even necessarily if we just divorced. I think it was really a combination of feeling free and alive, right? So that's what my book's about. My book is about my experience navigating his death, our marriage, and my life after he died.
Mm-hmm. Mourning losses in all the ways.
Yeah. And just all the different ways grief is so complicated. And we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the relief elements. We don't talk about, you know, sex after death and like how the two are connected. You know, we don't, there's so many things that we're not supposed to talk about specifically as women and mothers, right? Like you're a mother and you're supposed to be the harbor, not the ship. You're supposed to be the safe place. You're not supposed to explore. You're not supposed to talk about your complicated feelings. You're supposed to make sure that everyone else feels held and taken care of. And you're supposed to put yourself last. And I think, you know, I spent my marriage and my, you know, the last however many years of my life doing that. And, you know, I think for me, I was like, you know what, there has to be a way for me to be able to feel like I'm alive in my own life too. So that's also, you know, been the journey.
I'm probably going to step over this or landmine myself asking you this question, but I'm going to hear me out when I say this. So when you say that, like, you felt relief when he eventually passed, was there a piece of you that felt shame for feeling that because of your kids?
I mean, my relief that I was feeling was tied to my own feelings. Sure. My feelings for them, I was not relieved that they no longer had a father.
Right.
I was relieved.
I just want to make that clear because when I heard you, I'm like, because in my mind, I'm like, you know, us two have. I'm like, yes, I'm so happy to be out of my marriage, and I wouldn't. Okay, I'll say this: like my first abuser, he committed suicide. He died. I felt relief, but where I struggled was I'm like, but he, I felt bad for saying I had relief because he had children. Right. And so what I just didn't, and when I heard that, my first initial thought was, I don't want someone to go, wait, you wished your husband to die. Now they don't have kid. That now they don't have a dad, you know? So that's kind of like how I just, and I just want to like make sure right. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to make sure that you, like, you're not, you don't get like attacked to be like, she wished the father of, you know, her children died.
But I never wished that he died. I never said that. I never was wishing relief for him to die.
But I still think people could take that and like run with it.
Right. But this has been my whole beat with this book is that when you say you're relieved to not have somebody in your life anymore, that doesn't mean you're wishing for them to be dead. I think we automatically turn this into this black and white thing. It's nuanced. There's so many layers to this. And I think, you know, the oversimplification of this conversation is the problem. And it's the reason why I want to have the conversation because it's valid to feel all sorts of feelings at the same time. Mm-hmm. Just because you're feeling relieved doesn't mean that you want them dead. Just because you're feeling sad doesn't mean you want them to come back and be with you.
Yeah. And I hear you so much because I mean, I remember I got the call when my first abuser committed suicide and my first reaction was relief. And then I stayed with shame for so many years having that first reaction. Cause I'm like, I felt safe, you know, for the first time in a very long time. And like, I shouldn't feel bad for having that as a part of like the grieving process.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Well, all relationships are so complicated. We feel relieved when we get out of relationships, right? Like we're in a bad relationship or we quit a job. We feel relieved. That doesn't mean that there aren't other feelings had. Like it's the same with death. We look at death as being this thing that we're not allowed to have feelings about except these certain feelings. But we allow ourselves to have the complicated feelings about all other kinds of loss. It's just because death is so final, we're not allowed to, or we feel bad for having complex human feelings. And everyone has those feelings. I'm not like the first person to have them. I want to have a conversation about nuances because I think it's important. I think it's important for you not to feel bad for having that feeling. I think that's so just. Like, of course you would feel that way. And I think assuming that you wouldn't I think it's problematic. I think that we should give each other space for having true feelings about, you know, death.
Well, and I think too, it's like, you know, I know several people who have had people that they were still married to who had been sick. And then when they passed, they feel relief even. I mean, you know, it's relief for their spouse or it's relief for, you know, having to care for the spouse, you know, and I'm sure they feel guilty for that too. But I think that it's, you know, I think it's just way more common. Like you said, I think we just don't talk about it enough.
Well, that is also something that I want to talk about because caretaking is so hard. It is so hard. And when you're taking care of somebody, regardless of what your relationship is, if they're the love of your life, I was taking care of him for 4 months. It was gruesome and brutal and horrific. And regardless of how I felt about him, it would have been gruesome and horrific. And you know, when people, I remember at the end, the doctors kept trying to give him, he wasn't even speaking at this point. And the doctors kept trying to give him chemo pills. And I had said to them at one point, I was like, what are you doing? He's not even responsive. You're trying to put a pill down his throat. He can barely swallow. And they're like, well, you know, some people want more time. And I was like, more time with him just lie? Like, for what? I think this, like, the prolonging of the death is not the point. And I think for so many caretakers too, it's like, even if you love somebody, your entire life revolves around taking care of them. It is a full-time job. It is so overwhelming on so many different respects. Not even taking under consideration when you also have children and you're taking care of a dying spouse while also taking care of 4 children. Like it is, how could you not feel relieved for that to be over? That is excruciating. And for everybody involved, it was excruciating for him. He was in pain the entire time. For my kids, I mean, it was awful for them to see their father like that. I mean, he was a complicated man before he was dying for all of us. It wasn't just me that had, you know, he was a person that had, you know, was a person. But yeah, I felt relieved. They felt relieved when he died because he was no longer in pain, because it was, you know, it was, you know, and all of that is valid too. I mean, I held space with them for all of their feelings too. I was very honest to them about how I was feeling, and they were very honest with me, and we had all different feelings, and we still do 4 years later, and we talk about them, and it doesn't mean that we don't love him. To have, you know, unresolved anger, all these things. It's so important to talk about this and for children to feel like they can talk about this and for us not to shame each other or feel guilty for having real feelings about people who are human and complicated, just like we are.
Mm-hmm. One of my goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. So it's so important, obviously, for just the overall world, but just, you know, you feel better about sustainability. Well, I love being able to shop sustainably at Macy's. I really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak on 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in-store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require. So I've recently got some boots in the mail that I had to try because I'm a boot girl. I love boots, but wow, I'm never going back. Tecovas, you guys, this festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores have leather and custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots. Finding the right person for your team can be challenging. When it's time to hire, turn to Express Employment Professionals. In a recent study by the Harris Poll on behalf of Express Employment Professionals, 63% of hiring decision makers are planning to increase headcount at their company this spring, and more than half are doing so due to increased volumes of work. Don't let the work overwhelm you. Let Express handle your hiring. Express Employment Professionals is here to make hiring easier. We're in the business of recruiting talent. Discover for yourself how working with the workforce experts can solve your staffing challenges. With more than 860 locally owned offices, you'll find one near you at expresspros.com. Each year, more than 70,000 businesses turn to Express to manage their hiring. Make the most of your time and leave recruiting and hiring to the experts at Express. Visit expresspros.com today.
Kristen, you're having some, you want to speak on it or?
Well, she's new to me. I'm very rarely speechless. So I'm trying really hard to frame it. I'm a very open feeler and I'm a very open dialogue person. And grief is something that has just inundated me for probably the last year and a half. I lost 5 people in 11 months. And
wow.
One of them was my dad, and that was a year ago. So I'm trying to collect myself for a second just to be able to frame this in a way that is sharing, but also not narrating completely somebody else's story. But the relief, it's like I've been in the depths of grief and trauma therapy. I have gone to a grief intensive. Like I've really been in this. Like I'm feeling it all. I'm talking about it. But, oh, guys, and I'm not a pretty crier. Like, it
oh my gosh. I'm literally wrapping my arms around you. Who needs a pretty crier? We don't want a pretty crier here.
Well, I sit next to someone that could really win an Emmy Award for pretty crying.
I always say I'm a pretty crier. I got a big vein that comes through my forehead.
Well, the Botox makes me look like I'm ugly.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Catherine, there you go. There's my tough love always. I've seen her ugly cry. Let me tell you, she's a real ugly crier.
Usually it just looks like a movie scene. No, it hit this super soft part of my heart when you talked about the relief that comes with it, because it's not for lack of owning it. I am really emotional. Like this one really got me, you guys. I watched my mom caretake my dad for so long. He did not take care of himself. Drugs and alcohol, we don't talk about that. So that's hard for me because I'm the trailblazer and like I say what is true and what is real. And the relief is real.
It really is
so real. And that has been part of what I've had to talk about a lot, is just the unexpected. Like it is, I didn't have the fairy tale. I didn't bury my hero. In a lot of ways, I feel like, and I don't need any skepticism from anybody online, so help me God, in a lot of ways, I felt like I buried a child.
Yeah. I
grew him. I dealt with his shit and his unfairness and the addiction and all of the tidal waves that come with the addiction. And the struggle I'm having recently is watching my mom find the freedom. And she doesn't not deserve that. It looks really crazy sometimes. Like I can obviously tell she's going through something. But when you said that, I was just like, I was trying to fight back the tears and I was like, okay, I'm going to table this and probably lose it when we get off of here. But man, like everything you were saying was like a sentence. It wasn't even like it was from you. It was like straight from God, straight to me. Like the most seen words of what that experience has been. And I've never felt shameful for feeling the way I feel because I've just owned it for too long now. Like I started at 27. I just turned 40 in January. So I'm 13 years deep in therapy and owning it, alcoholism and all of the ripple effects it has on everyone. The lost relationships that are like, you know, consequence of that. Yeah. Healthy boundaries. Like I love boundaries. We talked about that. I fucking love boundaries. because it's what has helped me preserve the things I'm earning and the things I'm doing and working so hard for. But the freedom and relief of death is really hard to navigate. And it comes with a lot of big feelings, especially I am a Christian, Jesus-loving person. And so I felt relief for him almost. Mm-hmm. The first thing I said to my mom is he has all the answers to all the questions. And he just gets to take a minute, like the most worrisome, wound up, anger, rage filled, unpredictable person. And now he has the answers. And I felt relief. And I felt like there's, you know, ways now that we all can navigate and commune and connect differently because we have the opportunity to do so without the big black cloud.
Yep.
The unpredictability. It's a lot.
That and that feeling like that you're having is this is all I want to talk about because it's so important to validate that those feelings because they're so like that's first of all, I think it's far more common to have that feeling than not to because all of our relationships are complicated. Mm-hmm. But when you bury somebody that was toxic for you in a lot of reasons, that doesn't mean you don't love them, that you didn't love them, but that, I mean, everyone in my house, we would walk on eggshells, all of us,
all the time
for years. And when that went away and I think also, I think there's this other part of grief when somebody dies and you're not just grieving them, but you're grieving the relationship because you realize how much easier it is to live without them. I think that is a very real grief. I think that is a very valid grief to have when you realize, oh my God, like this person made my life really hard. And now they're gone and my life isn't as hard. And that doesn't mean that there isn't intense sadness that they're gone, but recognizing that you, what your life looked like with them in it versus with them out of it. And that a lot of that is easier and not harder, which is the assumption, right? The assumption is that this person's gone and your life is in pieces. So what happens when the person is gone and your life actually feels like you can finally put it back together? That's so valid. And I think extremely common. And we don't talk about that. So we just sort of, you know, my experience navigating this, I felt really alone because I couldn't talk about this because, you know, I was having all of these feelings that I couldn't share publicly, that I couldn't even admit to myself without feeling bad about having them because I get to be alive. Mm-hmm. I get to be the one who watches my kids grow up. And there's so much guilt tied in that too, and mm-hmm. being the survivor. And I'm sure your mom has those feelings too, like where she still gets to be here. But the idea, like the relief that you have for her, like is so, that's love, right? Mm-hmm. And the relief that somebody isn't no longer in your life is also love, because when you love somebody, you tolerate them in ways you wouldn't otherwise. So I think a lot of our relationships with people, especially family members that we love, but who also make our lives really hard, I think there is relief when they die because we love them, not because we don't, because I stayed with him for years because there was love there. And I tolerated him for years because there was love there. And I stuck with him and I nursed him and I was there with him to the end because there was love there. So it comes from a place of love, the relief, because I couldn't just leave. Even when I wanted to, you can't just leave your father, right? He's your there's this feeling where you can breathe and be in your body and in your life without this person that you didn't know how to leave when he was in it, right?
And you mourn the loss of them before they're dead in so many ways too.
That is a whole other part. My marriage was over long before he died, and I had already mourned mm-hmm. him as my husband. I had already grieved our marriage long before he died. So that was already done. My grief was tied up in my children really for the first year. And I didn't even give myself a chance to think about how I was feeling until I knew that they were okay. As soon as I was like, okay, they're okay, now it's my turn to figure out how I am.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's something to be said too, like the grief shows up at all different parts. And I mean, I'm still like grieving my ex-husband, and there are moments that just, they randomly come up, and it's like their grief is not just like, all right, I'm over it, I'm done. It's like, you're still, because to me, it's like, no one could have told me that it was a death at the time. Cause it's like, that was, you know, he was gone, disappear. You know what I mean? Like he didn't disappear, but like when he went to rehab the first time, I'm like, I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't see him. It was like, to me, it was like this like death. I'm like, he's just boom, yeah, gone. And granted, yeah, he's, you know, very much alive. And in me and my kid's life, it's still like, it's still grief, whether you lose someone or you don't, you know?
And yeah,
it's like,
you think you're on a podcast with your friend and then this sweet thing comes on, starts talking about death, and grief just hits you like a tidal wave. Cause it happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how grief is too. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. Sneaky. It's like, it doesn't just, it's not like you spend a year crying and then you're over it. Like my twin daughters, their birthday's on Tuesday. Whenever there's a birthday, whenever I'm like, okay, I'm like waiting for it to hit me, and I'll be like at Trader Joe's, like mm-hmm. getting pasta and like, just start, whew, because it finds you mm-hmm. when you least expect it, or when like you're triggered by a smell or a song or like some, it's, and then that's it. And I think that grief, again, like it doesn't end. Like I'm going to carry this, my children are going to carry this with us forever. We're always going to have, you know, we're always going to grieve him, and it's always going to be complicated, and it's going to change, and it's fluid. And, you know, there have been plenty of times where I've missed him and wished he was here. And then there have been other times where I was like, thank fucking God he isn't. All of that can live together. It's all, and, you know, yeah.
mm-hmm. it's the both and of life. It's the caring, yeah. the grief and the gratitude at once.
Totally.
It's my, it's my ampersand on my hand. Yeah. To have both is, mm-hmm. It's funny. We talked about that last week. Like you can't time triggers. That's another like big thing too. You can't time when it's going to come up. But
like I wanted to run out of this room just now. Did you see me looking for an exit strategy behind you?
I think it's just, it's so interesting though too. Cause I'm like the relief and thing, like, man, like sometimes it'd be so easy, but then also easier with certain things but then you also struggle with this side effect too of like, you know, not having the parent in your life as well. So it's like, it's hard. I think it's just hard. You know,
I think it's all hard. Yeah. I think it's all hard. And I, you know, there are times, you know, a lot of my friends are divorced when they're like, oh my God. And they're dealing with custody stuff and the drama of dealing with an ex, which I don't know what that's like. And it sounds really awful to me. And you know, I think in a lot of ways it's harder to navigate all of the stuff with a partner that's no longer your partner, a former partner. But then there are also times where, you know, something happens with my kids and I want to like text him or, oh my God, look at our kids or, you know, and like that I can't do that. And then it's harder for me, you know, it's like it's hard. It's all hard. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Death is hard. I think they're all hard and complicated and nothing is harder than the, you know, for the other, and no grief is worse than another person's grief. I think it's all just really hard and really complicated. And there's nothing wrong with any of the feelings that any of us are having about any of this stuff. It's
all of this, which is probably, that's why you named your book. It's all of this.
Hence the name. I mean, that's kind of my whole beat, right? It's like, how do we carry all these feelings in the same basket without feeling bad about it?
Right. And I think that's huge too, because there's so many people that love to shed their opinions when on things that they haven't gone through it, or and that's a tricky basket.
I think a lot of that comes from internal shame. I think all shame, you know, comes from internal shame, the way we shame others. I don't think people who don't feel internal shame other people. I think it's you know, we're talking about triggers. I think a lot of people being honest about their experience is very triggering for others. And look, I've been writing on the internet for 20 years. I've heard it all. I've been judged, criticized, shamed, you know, my entire career. So I think for me, I don't know that I could have written a book like this if I didn't have have experience navigating that and sort of, you know, getting to the other side of it and saying, you know what, I don't feel bad. I don't. And you can't make me feel bad if I don't feel bad. And that's sort of the thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you get to a point when you're like, I've really done the work and explored these feelings. And I feel like this is where I'm at with them. And I'm okay with that. That if other people aren't like, okay, that's fair. Mm-hmm. So fair. I will hold space for your feelings, but they're not mine, you know?
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that wrap up what we were talking about earlier, Catherine? Well, Rebecca, thank you so much for coming on and talking about something that, you know, obviously a lot of people feel, and they feel, I'm sure, a lot of shame around. So thank you for your words and what you've done for not only my middle school heart, but my adult heart now. So
thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you all.
Of course.
Thank you.
Bye, Rebecca.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Well,
some stuff.
Lots of emotions. We have,
like, from my soul, I couldn't even hide it.
From you? No, but it's okay. I'm like, you should feel. And
I was gonna like ugly weep. Could you hear it? Like, I couldn't swallow the tears.
Yeah, I was like, I was gonna intersect, because I'm always like, I remember when I can say it now, but I was on Red Table Talk. I don't know the premiere date yet, but when I see someone cry, I want to immediately be like, talk to me. What's the emotion coming up? Because I saw Jada start to get teary-eyed, and I just stared at her until there was a break in conversation to be like, do you want to talk about that? Because it's like, I don't want you to shove it. I don't want you to push it down. Well, but it, I also knew you needed a minute too.
Because I was like, she can see me. She's talking. And I am like convulsing like, back here.
Kristen and I'm back here.
Holy mackerel. But we're going to continue this conversation, and also we're going to unpin Catherine's conversation. So meet us on the after show.
Discover the rich, smooth taste of matcha love made with real Japanese matcha, perfect for hot or cold brewing. Matcha is rich in vitamin C, catechins, EG, CGs, and L-theanine. Enjoy a delicious matcha latte or smoothie with this convenient green tea powder made from Japan's treasured matcha, finely milled from high-quality green tea leaves. Get 25% off all matcha love products on Itoan using code JANA. That's code JANA at itoen.com. Available on Amazon and itoen.com. You know, I don't even know where to start with this because it's the comfort, it's the style, it's the whole look. That's what I love about my Tecovas. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend, and Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Shop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, TECOVAS.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.